When you spoke at the Art Institute last week, you had said something about purging your heroes. I'm wondering if you could tell me who you were purging and what did that process entail?
Well, you know, it's the people I like best. People like de Kooning and Gorky and you know, some of those guys. I like Hans Hoffman. I like all kinds of the abstract expressionists. And, you know, I was pretty good at making some of them. And so I just wanted to put myself in a position where I couldn't do them anymore.
How did you make the decisions that led you to doing the gigantic portraits?
Well, like I said, I decided to either work from photographs so that I had my hand would just make art shapes. And I was just going to work in black and white so I wouldn't depend upon my sense of color. And then I would only use black paint on white canvas so that I wouldn't be so tentative and I'd have to make decisions early and live with them. So that sort of generated what I was doing. And if that had not been interesting, I would have altered the variables again and tried to do something else.
Now then, how have you balanced color and form within your practice?
I don't even know what the hell that means.
I mean, is there one thing that is more important to you? You had made mention of deciding to get away from color.
I just got color out of there because I had depended on it so much. But then I brought it back in. But I go back and forth between black and white and color all the time. And the reason I do is to keep things fresh. Like, after I've been working in color for a while and I'm working black and white, I say, oh my God, this is so, I love this. I love doing this again. And then the whole world sort of becomes a black and white world. I began to look at things that way. And then after I work in black and white, I have the yearning to go back to color. And the minute I squeeze the color out on the palette, it's like I've never seen color before. So exciting. And then I go out in the street and then I see like a green door, a yellow building with a red truck or something. And I literally would not have noticed when I was making the black and white paints. So just a way to keep it sort of fresh.
In terms of the images of the work, photographs of the work, and then seeing the actual work itself, I guess what I'm trying to ask is how important to you is the physicality of the painting and the art object versus just a photograph or image of the object?
Well, it's all the physicality and pushing paint around. I mean, photographs are photographs, and I love photographs, but if I'm not shoving colored dirt around, I'm not having fun. See, one of the things that makes photography so hard to have a signature style or something personal that people recognize is there is no touch or hand. You know, it's thin as the emulsion, and there is no indication of how it was made. It's like an apparition. But paintings get made; they're unfinished before they're finished, and you realize the role that every mark that you put on has because it changes what's already there. Whereas a photograph is finished all over at the same time. So it's a very different kind of thought process. But I love photographs. That's what I collect by and large. But I'd be very unhappy, boy, if I weren't pushing paint around.
So then I guess I'd like to ask you about the performative nature of how these things are built and how important is it to you that the viewers have some kind of insight into how these things are made?
Well, it's not important if they don't think it's important. I mean, I'm happy to have people just stand in front of my paintings and let the imagery wash over them. They don't have to get involved in how I made them. However, I do embedded in the work itself is all kinds of information about how it got made. I think that for those people who are interested in that, they can decode the process and figure out, you know, what happened. And to me, that brings an extra level of enjoyment. It does when I look at somebody else's work and I see how they made it. I mean, no painting ever got made without a process. Mine is, you know, unique in that way at all. But I like to drop crumbs along the trail, Hansel and Gretel style, where people pick up and then they can retrace my steps.
Now then, I'm wondering about the significance of your connection to the subjects, and if you want the viewers, when they see the piece, if it's important at all that they get some kind of insight into what your connection is to these people that you're painting.
Oh, I leave that to the viewer. They can figure out how they relate to these people and what they think about them. I try not to editorialize. I try to present the information straightforward, flat-footed, and let them figure out who these people are. I mean, the same way when we meet a real person, we size them up, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm not lobbying for any particular reading or for, for them to see them in a particular way.
This is a trite question, but I'm just curious. Why did you decide to go large?
Well, I always used to say, only somewhat facetiously, the bigger they are, the longer they take to walk by, and therefore the harder they are to ignore. And that's, that is sort of true. I wanted people to, I didn't want to have people see a show and say, gee, was there a Chuck Close in that show? I can't remember. I don't care if they love the painting, they hate the painting. I want them to notice it. I want them to have an opinion about it. And,